This is Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Carol Laurence. My guest today is percussionist Judy Moonert. Welcome to WMUK.
Hi, Kara. Thank you.
Nice to have you back again.
Thank you.
You're performing tomorrow night with your duo, Coalescence. It's a Bullock Performance Institute series program starting at 7:30. And we're going to be sampling a new recording that you just released with Greg Secor, your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations on the new recording.
Thank you.
And let's do a little look back at history and how long you've been playing as Coalescence with Greg Secor.
Well, we've been actually a duo since 2005, but it goes way back before that. Greg was my first student here in 1981. So we've known each other 35 years. And after he graduated, he did his bachelor's here and then did his master's at Cincinnati Conservatory. And then he came back to this area to live permanently. And that's when we started doing a lot of professional playing together. So I would say probably since 1987, we've been doing various projects together. Kind of the duo idea came from, we did a concert with Fontana many, many years ago. Maybe 1988, 89. We did the Luciano Berio circles. And it's a duo where the percussionists are in a circle and have all these instruments. Well, I asked Greg to do it with me. And after that, we had so much fun. We thought, you know, we should do some more stuff. So then Fontana hired, I formed a quartet called Sound Waves. Actually, Betsy Wong gave it that name. But we tried it as a quartet for about a year or so. But it was just, we lived in all different parts of Michigan. It was very hard to pull together. And that was probably in about 2002. And then after that, after a year, we thought, you know, why don't we just do a duo, you and me? And that's how Coalescence began.
Did you look around and see that there were pieces for percussion duo out there already written?
It was minimal of good pieces at that time. Since then, there was a few early duos, Safri duo. There was a few out there that were kind of, you know, breaking the groundwork. But most things were quintets, you know, like Nexus or, you know, or even quartets, but not so much duos. Now today, duo is a thing. And so we're all kind of trying to develop the literature. And that's part of the reason for our CD is that all these pieces are really very new. And so it's contributing to that duo literature.
You can hear a live performance of Coalescence tomorrow at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall with tickets available at the door. And there's also always with Bullock Performance Institute programs, a live and interactive get to know the artist session starting at 7 p.m. if you show up a little bit early. So this CD is sort of a culmination of the things you've been working on recently and the fact that duo literature for percussionists has been getting bigger and better over the years.
Yeah, what happened was I got, me and Greg started doing a few pieces with Opus 21. So some of these pieces are from Opus 21. The Red Tree, Yellow Sky by Bill Ryan was actually commissioned by Opus 21. And we started as a duo in Opus 21. And so then after that, I applied for support for Faculty Scholars Grant from Western and got that. It was for like $1,800. And we started recording the process at that point, starting the CD. That was, I think, when we first started recording, it was probably about 2011.
Were you using the facilities we have Western?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. And then at that point, we had commissioned already at that point Curtis to write his piece, More African Laughter, Curtis Smith, for a convention we applied for, the International Percussive Arts Society convention. He agreed to write the piece for us, and we commissioned him. And that was previous to this. This was 2008. And we performed that piece then. So the first two pieces we recorded were the Opus 21, Red Tree, Yellow Sky, and Curtis's work. And that was in 2011. Then we tried to get another grant and failed. So we were out of commission for a year.
About the time the economy took a dive.
And so then we tried the next year and got the Faculty Research Creativity Activities Award from Western, which allowed us to finish the CD.
Wonderful. Well, yeah. That's really terrific. I'm so glad we're going to be sampling some of the things from the CD that you've already touched upon, the Curtis Smith piece and other commissions. I'd like to ask you a little bit about you and Greg play together with two other percussionists as part of the Kalamazoo Symphony mm-hmm. Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Kira.
as a unit, as individual players, I love watching the percussion section, and it just amazes me that you're so on top of it. Like, you're not going to let a beat get by without being directly with that conductor. But it's a very different animal, I think, than mm-hmm. playing as a duo. There's mm-hmm. no conductor, for one thing. Mm-hmm. What a fun way to develop two sets of skills mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very different, and it's different in a duo than being a soloist, you know, because it's really an equal partnership, and so, you know, you really have to be almost a little more on top of it than you would as a soloist, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's very locked in, very integrated. So part of it is, and same with Kalamazoo Symphony. Mark Guthrie, Ken Jones, me and Greg have been playing in that. Well, Ken, Mark, and me have been playing in the orchestra since 1981. Greg started in 1987. We have played a long time together, and we know kind of what each person's going to do and what they want to do and what feels good to them. And that's kind of like me and Greg, you know, because we've been playing together for so long. It was a natural thing for us to be a duo because we already know kind of what each one likes to do and right. how they like to move. And, you know, and the other one will give them freedom to do that and then vice versa.
Well, when you know someone's playing so well, it's almost like an extension of your own playing.
Absolutely.
So if they,
absolutely.
If something goes wrong and they make a mistake, it must be hilarious for you to hear your friend Greg, you know, whiff on that.
Oh, it happens all the time. It happens to me all the time, not Greg and me. We have some whiffs in there.
Again, the concert is tomorrow night, and I think we should have a look at some of this music. Mm-hmm. And the first piece up we're going to tune into here is called 42nd Street Rondo. I hear the Broadway theme in my head. Where does this actually take us?
Actually, this piece by Wayne Siegel was written in 1983. It's the oldest piece on the program. And actually, it was written as he was walking by 42nd Street and Broadway, and there were some street musicians on the corner with buckets and, you know, typical street musicians. And he heard their music, and that was kind of the inspiration for this piece.
Second Street Rondo, and that is by what composer again, Judy?
Wayne Siegel.
That's how your program tomorrow night will start?
Yep.
If you just tuned in during this music, I'm speaking with percussionist Judy Moonert, who, along with her dual partner, Greg Secor, will perform as Coalescence for the Bullock Performance Institute series that starts at 7:30. Tickets and more information at milleraudatorium.com or 387-2300. Judy, the wonderful thing about percussion, and especially percussion ensemble playing to me, is you sound like magicians. I can't tell where the sounds are coming from, how many, like if you can't see the performers in that piece, I couldn't tell how many people were actually playing. It's, there's an element of magicianship to it to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, some pieces are more like that. The mouth pieces are clear. I mean, you know who's doing what, more like a string quartet. You hear viola and violin, you know. But with the multiple pieces, there's so many instruments, it's very difficult to tell what actually, how many players, you know, what the instruments are, whatever.
And the fact that two people, four hands, can sound like 10 people, 20 hands at times, if you want to.
Yeah, it's how it's written. You know, it's how the composer writes it to make that happen.
So there's a huge range of pieces to choose from, and a range of styles, too. Mm-hmm. During the music, we kind of started talking about minimalism, because it must have been something about that piece that made me think of the way Reich and Glass would alternate patterns mm-hmm. subtly to create textures and almost a brain hypnotism kind of thing happening. And so that's a popular technique used in percussion mm-hmm. pieces.
Actually, the Wayne Siegel, the way the minimalism works is one person maintains their pattern and the other person enters with a new pattern on top. And then we might both change our pattern at the same time. So the timbre is kind of sometimes remain the same. Sometimes it's being added upon mm-hmm. and thus changing the overall, you know, what you hear. Even though it is a minimal amount of material being used, it's how the composer is stacking that material or introducing it or taking it away that's really making the difference in what the listener hears in the piece.
Is it really hard to maintain the tempo with those, or is it more hard to remember where the changes come?
A little bit of both. You gotta keep your count. Otherwise somebody changes, but you know, we're at the point where like if somebody changes, we go, oh, you changed, okay,
let's do it.
I'm along for the ride. I'll follow you.
Yeah, because I know what it is to be staring at measure after measure of the same thing, and then suddenly the thought creeps into your head, maybe I watched that one measure twice now, and
yeah,
now I'm off.
I know that's exactly, yeah.
So that certainly, I'm glad it can happen to you too.
Oh, yeah.
Would you give me an idea of what the piece we just heard, 42nd Street Rondo, might look like on the page?
It's actually written on, let's see, it's got three lines. And actually, we have six instruments each. The top line is two cowbells, high and low. The second line is two bongos, high and low. And the third line is two tom-toms, high and low.
For both of you.
For both of us. So he writes like one on top of the line, like three lines. The top line has the high cowbell on top and the low cowbell on the bottom. So it's kind of weird looking.
So you're reading a bit vertically and horizontally as the piece goes mm-hmm. along.
Yeah, so it's like, you know,
reading
when you
score.
Think about chords, these are like moving chords.
Very so, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's graphic, like not that much different than regular music would be graphic.
Well, the next piece on the program is Red Tree, Yellow Sky mm-hmm. by Bill Ryan. Would you tell me about him?
Yes, Bill Ryan is the professor of composition at Grand Valley State University, and he runs their new music ensemble.
Is he the fellow who took the group to New York a few years ago?
Yes, with Steve Reich, 18 musicians.
Yes, and Alex Ross wrote it up in The New Yorker.
Yes, 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 yeah. Yes. And so when me and Greg were in Opus 21, we did... Richard Adams, who was the, you know, executive director, musical director of Opus 21 and founder, I mean, basically made that ensemble happen. I mean, it's his ensemble. He we decided to do a Tyro Minimalism concert of young composers. And so Bill Ryan was commissioned to write Red Tree, Yellow Sky at that point.
And this is from the new CD.
Yes, this one is on the new CD. It was also part of an Opus 21 performance for a Georgie O'Keeffe exhibit. So Red Tree, Yellow Sky is based on Georgie O'Keeffe's painting, Red Tree, Yellow Sky.
All right, let's give it a listen. First, remind listeners that the percussion duo Coalescence is in concert tomorrow at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. I'm live here with percussionist Judy Moonert, and we just heard a track, the first track from a brand new release by Coalescence Percussion Duo, in which Judy Moonert is one half, Greg Secor the other half, and this is a very special sounding recording. Could you tell me a little more about where it was recorded and who helped with that?
Yeah, it was recorded, it was recorded in a lot of different spaces in Dalton Center.
It was?
Yes. We did the first recording in January. The Bill Ryan piece you just heard was so soft. And we did it like January 3rd when nobody was on campus.
Very quiet.
Very quiet. And we still picked up some truck or something on the loading dock. So we had to scrap all that. So then in March, the dance department was going to be in New York during spring break. So they said, nobody will be upstairs. So they allowed us to use their middle studio with nobody in the building during spring break. And that's where we redid the Bill Ryan. So we did that up there, and that's where we did Curtis's piece, too. We did part of Curtis's, and then we did the remainder of it up there. The Joel Harrison, the marimba piece later on, we did in the recital hall. And the later pieces, the next one, I think, is Alternations. We actually did, and that was another reason we waited a year. The studio was being renovated during that year that we did not, we got our grant, but we had to delay it close to 6 months because the studio was being totally renovated. And so we waited the 6 months. I'm so glad we did instead of doing a portable recording system somewhere because Alternations was recorded in that newly renovated studio. And it was just fabulous, a fabulous working environment, a fabulous studio. The renovation was just terrific. Brian Heaney was our engineer. And, you know, I cannot thank Brian enough. For, you know, he's a percussionist, so he totally gets us. You know, he totally gets us. And he was just such great guidance and very patient and, you know, just went on the long haul of the 3 years it took us to do this. He was there the whole way, you know, and just was so enthusiastic and just fabulous to work with and a great recording engineer.
What a puzzle, you know, what an interesting problem for an engineer, knowing that different percussion instruments, the sound carries in different ways. Some of them, as you said, very soft. Others, they'll carry for miles. And you need to know about where to put the right kind of microphone and how close to the instrument and do something different for each percussion instrument. Not necessarily everyone, but yeah, I mean, it's a puzzle.
Yeah, especially with Alternations, this next piece, because what you're dealing with in this piece is you have a marimba shared by two players, one instrument. And on each side of this instrument, you have a school alarm bell, you have a homemade chime, you have a break drum, you have a pot, like a cooking pot, you have one bongo, one tom-tom, and a large bass drum, and in back you have a thunder sheet.
Oh, no.
So all those instruments, each player has a duplicate amount of instruments, just different pitched. So each one has a totally different response.
Now, in a live performance, of course, you play each part all and all the instruments together at once. But in a recording studio, you sometimes do have the option to, you know, track one instrument, track the next instrument, track the one after that, all separately.
We didn't do that. We did that only with the thunder sheet because it was hard to reach.
Good choice.
Yeah. And we did it one little part with the marimba. Wow. Because we were just overbalancing the marimba when we were playing it with other instruments. But all of it, the entire piece, the rest of the piece, we recorded as it is.
Coalescence Percussion Duo. This new recording will be available, I presume, tomorrow night. You can
Yes.
get a hard copy tomorrow
yeah,
night at the
absolutely.
Concert.
Absolutely. It'll be available.
And what about online?
It's available through iTunes. You can download it there and CD Baby.
This must be one of those things that percussionists share amongst themselves. You must look forward to seeing new recordings from mm-hmm. your favorite artists mm-hmm. out there. And the community of percussionists, do they invest in and you know, really show interest in other people's projects and learning other people's premieres and things like that, sharing music?
Oh, absolutely. And part of it is, you know, we're in our renaissance. We don't have old music. It's all new music. So it's constantly something new is coming down the pipeline, you know? So, I mean, we're constantly hunting for new music. We want more music. So that's our main goal, is find more good new music to add to our repertoire. So that's why part of our CD, there's a couple things that are kind of cool about it. Number one, we do have two commissions in there. We do have the Curtis Smith, and the one that's a world premiere tomorrow night is the Alternations by Christopher Dean, which was part of this project commission. But then all the other pieces we premiered, besides the Wayne Siegel and 2+1, we added two pieces to this program. But all the ones on the CD, we premiered, and throughout this whole process, we know that we've worked with these composers, one-on-one, sitting there across the table talking to them, you know, or throughout the process of the actual CD making, we are constantly sending them, like, you know, Joel Harrison's in New York, and, you know, they're scattered around, Christopher Dean's in Texas, but, you know, we constantly sent them MP3s throughout this whole process and said, how do you like this? What do you want different? Any suggestions you might get? Because we really wanted this CD more than anything to represent what the composer's intentions were, because these are new pieces and we wanted to represent them as the composer would want them to be represented.
So tomorrow night, premieres of new pieces, plus even the pieces that have been performed before, this might be only the third or fourth time
right.
they're in concert.
Right.
So what a terrific opportunity for people to hear brand new works that, as we're hearing, were created not only by the composer, but between the composer and the performers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you mind if we took a little break to hear music from this Alternations?
Yeah, let me just talk. Can I talk real quick about
it? Okay. Please do, yeah. Sounds like it's the radio premiere of this piece.
Yes, this is the radio premiere. it hasn't been performed at all, period. Tomorrow night's it, you know? Christopher Dean has been really been writing a lot of new pieces for percussion. We just did a percussion ensemble of his last semester called Vespertine Whispers. And he teaches at the University of Texas, North Texas.
Okay.
He's a percussionist by trade, and he teaches percussion down there. And I think he also teaches some composition. I'm not sure. But when we were thinking about a composer we wanted, because we had enough money in the grant to do one commission, and both of us went, Christopher Dean. So we contacted Christopher Dean, and actually Greg went to school with Christopher Dean at Cincinnati, so they were kind of classmates, you know. So we contacted him, and we told him what we wanted. Because both me and Greg, you know, we're above 50, we don't want to, when we do gigs and concerts, we don't want to, like, haul, like, five keyboard instruments. So we're minimizing our setups.
No, you already
so
mentioned
can fit
the brake
a
drum.
And a Forester and a Toyota RAV. So we talked to Christopher Dean. We said, you know, it'd be really cool if we could play on 1/4 and 1/3 octave marimba with multiple setups on each side. And he said, I could do that. And that's what this piece is. It's for 1/4 and 1/3 marimba with multiple setups on each side. It's got a 35 count cyclic thing. So it's a little bit like, you know, the John Cage third construction as far as the, you know, micro, macro construction of the piece, you know. But it's a 35 count thing. And so the main thing me and Greg have to remember, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2. And we got to remember that throughout the whole piece.
Well, I'm going to try to count that right now.
Yep. And you can hear it. You can hear it in the first 35 count bar.
And then it starts over again?
Yeah. In some places, it moves away from it, you know, but then it'll come back. And it's called alternations, non-alternations, meaning we're supposed to alternate but not become alter to each other as we're playing. You know, because sometimes when you're alternating, you become altar. So that's kind of play on words a little bit.
Well, let's listen, and you can see this happen tomorrow night at 7:30. Alternations by Christopher Dean. If you tuned in during the music, it's a radio broadcast premiere of a new work by Christopher Dean, performed by my guest Judy Moonert with her partner Greg Secor in Coalescence Percussion Duo. You're performing this for the first time in front of a live audience tomorrow night.
Yep, it's a premiere.
During the music, the first thing I remarked on was how when you talked about the piece as something for where both of you play marimba and then have an array of instruments on either side of the marimba to touch on, I kind of thought it was going to be marimba centric, like it'd be like a tune
a lot
on the marimba.
Are. Yeah.
But it seemed like marimba was really just a small, it was totally integrated, like you said.
Yeah, another percussion instrument. Just like it has, the marimba has is probably as many notes, maybe a few more than the drums, but it's like one note on the marimba, one note on the break drum, one note on the woodblock, one note on the bass drum. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the instrument by no means.
It's an incredible palette of sound, that piece. I didn't get very far trying to follow the 35 note pattern.
Yeah. It's hard to find. And that's what, when I was saying it was difficult to record, you know, as far as from engineering standpoint, because these instruments are also mixed and have different kinds of, you know, projection qualities. Yeah.
Hmm. What about the physical demands on you and Greg to pull off a performance like this? These are difficult pieces.
Yeah, they're very difficult pieces. And it is super demanding. A lot of memory work in this, so it's, you know, just, you know, focusing and, you know, but you know, we have fun doing it too. We enjoy working with each other, and you know, we really like doing this.
If there is a memory lapse from you or Greg, what do you do in those moments?
Well, we know these pieces, you know. I mean, we know these pieces upside down, stay in our head. So, you know, we'll always find our way back to the fold.
So it's not something that really flusters you.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, you know, you kind of got to practice that, you know, too, you know, getting back. You know? So don't stop.
Again, this concert is tomorrow night at 7:30. At 7 o'clock, there's a live and interactive portion where you can interact with the artist. And details on tickets are at MillerAuditorium.com or by calling 387-2300. Online, there's also the wmich.edu/music/events calendar, which shows all the programs coming up at Western Michigan University. After this performance, will you be taking this concert to other schools, other universities, or other venues?
Eventually, not right away. You know, we're thinking about maybe applying for maybe Percussive Arts Society or National Convention doing a total program. Maybe in December you have to apply for next year. So we might do that. We're looking into that. And probably we will, you know, work on trying to get other concerts here in the future. But right now, both of us have been very busy. So
I know the concert season's all started up again.
And oh, yeah.
There's lots to prepare for.
Symphony's been busy for both of us. And, you know.
Of course, I haven't even mentioned the fact that you're a professor and teaching.
Yeah.
And
Greg also plays with Grand Rapids Symphony. So,
yeah.
You know, we've been busy. So
you also oversee the percussion ensemble at Western Michigan University.
Yeah.
So the percussion ensemble concert, there's usually one a year.
Yes. And I'm going to do a promo here. It's December 6th at Millwood Methodist Church. We're going to be on their concert series.
Oh, that's great.
Carl Doubleday's church out there. Yeah.
You have some surprises in store for us?
Yeah. We got some cool pieces. We're trying to show on this concert a little bit about everything we do. So we have, you know, in-your-face kind of drum pieces. We have some lovely mallet works. And we have a little bit of hand drum stuff for cajones and Doombeck. And then we have a piece for like weird instruments, bamboo mat and two glasses, two scrapey objects played with chopsticks.
And you're going to play Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas on the...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We got some of that, too. Yeah. A little bit of that.
So that's December 6th.
Yeah, December 6th.
At Millwood United.
Yeah, that's at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
December 6th.
Well, let's just remind folks again that you can see Judy and Greg Secor tomorrow at 7:30. And we have just a few minutes left in this hour, so why don't we spend it talking about this commission from Secor to Smith.
Yeah, we asked Curtis to write us this piece in 2008, and we performed it at our International Percussive Arts Society convention. Curtis has always been interested in African music and has written African laughter for the Merlin trios. So this was called More African Laughter. He wrote it during the summer while he was out at least the first movement. The second movement, I think he wrote earlier, but the first movement, he wrote out while he was out at his beach house on Lake Michigan. And it kind of reflects the very relaxed kind of feeling of being on the lake, watching the lake, playing, The whole piece is kind of a follow the leader. Like, you know, I follow Greg, Greg follows me. And it's kind of very playful in that way as a duo, kind of representing what you would do if you were on the beach, you're playing, and then it kind of settles down and you relax. And, you know, so it's a very playful, fun piece. Very joyful.
It's on the new recording, Alternations, from the Coalescence Percussion Duo, and you'll hear a live performance tomorrow night. Very special time to do that.
Yes, yes. It's in honor of Curtis, since he passed away in October. Our performance is in memory of him.
Well, Judy, thanks for coming in today, and I'm excited about your performance tomorrow night.
Thank you, Kara. I enjoyed it very much.